The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We're so glad to have you back with us this week. It is the 1st of February, and we couldn't be happier that winter is finally still dead. Forever dead. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, as always, down at the end of the table, the five-star man, Asa Gray.
All five.
Next to me, Alethea A. Bear, the Alley.
Hello.
The Alley actually sounds terrible. And then to my left, Dalton Anthony, the Big D.
Yo.
How you guys doing tonight?
Fine.
Good.
You didn't expect that, did you?
I did.
No. I never asked. This is take two. I did an amazing Kermit impersonation on the first take. They made me redo it. I just want that on the record books.
I'm sure he'll be just as excited for Tanner Thursday tomorrow.
Oh, should I do it on Tanner Thursday?
Yes, that's the show to do it on.
Okay, we'll do it on Tanner Thursday. We got a lot to talk about tonight. It was a huge weekend of professional wrestling. We had the CCW Showcase Chaos. We had NXT TakeOver in San Antonio. And
of course,
well, we had it on Sunday, along with the
Royal
Rumble.
Oh, I just meant because it wasn't very...
Did you not like it?
The build. It was just
oh, yeah. We're
going to
talk about
like
that.
An afterthought.
We're going to get that to a second. We also got some big news. Got some big news on Seth Rollins that you're not going to want to hear. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. We got some good news on Mick Foley. A little bit of everything today. Let's start off with what we did on Saturday, and that was Cape Championship Wrestling's Caged Chaos at the Arena Building here in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And it was a good show, Asa.
Yes.
I thought it was a good show. I don't know where we want to start on this. Let's just get it out of the way. Let's get the elephant out of the room out of the way. We said we were going to talk about this. Let's talk about it. Dalton's nervous. Now at this show, it was a good show, but there were a couple of moments that were kind of cringeworthy. And I'm not talking about Brandon Espinoza working on that damn corner turnbuckle for 20 minutes. Cause that was actually pretty entertaining the way he played it off.
Yeah.
Playing to the crowd.
That could have been a whole lot worse, but.
Yeah. He finally answered my question because every time he went to it, I asked what his end game was.
Yeah. And then he just yelled out, I'm going to kill him.
I'm trying to kill him.
Which he denies.
Yeah.
He doesn't recall that.
On Facebook, he said, or on Twitter, he said he didn't know. He had no idea what people were talking about. Yeah, you exactly know. Here's the problem though, is that Cape Championship Wrestling, there were a lot of kids there. A lot of kids, a lot of families there to watch it. Mm-hmm. And this one more than any of the other ones that I can remember, because for the longest time, Cape Championship Wrestling has kind of, what would you say, kind of tittered-tattered around the line of what's acceptable and what isn't acceptable in a family-friendly environment. Of course, we had stuff like Sarge flipping people off and Sarge.
Yeah. Just Sarge's, which we love.
We do love it. We're adults.
This isn't coming from us being critical of the actual product, just.
Yeah, this isn't us saying that the product wasn't good.
Right.
It's just us saying that, I feel like Cape Championship Wrestling needs to either not promote themselves as family friendly or enforce it more with the wrestlers themselves.
Yeah.
And that is coming from love. If anybody from Cape Championship Wrestling is listening to this and wondering why are you guys attacking us, we're not attacking. This is just truth.
Yeah.
What Sarge said especially, and I'm a big Sarge fan. Sarge was the first person.
Sarge was the one that like kept you coming back.
He was. He was the one that got me into it originally. But at the show, when he came out and he cut a promo on Brandon, and I, pardon the language, you know, we try to stay family friendly here, but in the context of what he said, I think it's important. He told Brandon to shut his cocksucker. And we all kind of looked at each other like, oh, like that's a funny line. But then that was in the that was us as adults.
Right.
But if you bring your family there and you got your 7-year-old and your 6-year-old.
Cause there were a lot of little kids.
There were a lot of little kids there. Yeah. And for Sarge to come out and refer to Brandon as a cocksucker, like that was probably too far.
Yeah.
And I've heard from a lot of people, not a huge amount of people, but a few people that was unacceptable. And I feel like Cape Championship Wrestling needs to address that. Because this isn't the first time that they've, like I said, walked that line between what is and what is not acceptable for a family-friendly environment. The middle fingers, yeah, I don't particularly like it. Mm-hmm. The intergender wrestling and just the intergender violence in general. Again, I know wrestling is a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, but kids are impressionable. You got 6-year-old little Billy, no pun intended out there, seeing big Billy slam around a little bit. Mm-hmm. It might send some mixed signals, but all of that stuff, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like that's just enough at the line that it's not terrible, but to flat out tell someone to shut their cocksucker, that's too much.
Right.
So.
And that very well could have been just a product of, okay, here's a live mic.
Yeah.
Go
on
out
the spot.
There.
Because one thing I like about Cage Championship Wrestling, they don't seem to, write out scripts for what the wrestlers to say.
Right.
They let the wrestlers do their own thing.
They just kind of give them a idea of, okay, this is the direction we want to go.
These are the bullet
and
points.
It's up to you to get us there.
And Sarge is a very adult wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's labeled from
porn star.
Porn star
dancing.
So it's not like Sarge is not, it's not unheard of that Sarge would say something like that.
Right.
But I think it was a little over the line. And again, this is coming from adults. We don't have a problem with it because we are adults.
Right.
We have a problem with
it's just in the context of it being advertised as a family friendly, bring your kids show.
And we say this not only because we're criticizing it, but we're also, it's almost like, hey guys, be careful. Mm-hmm. Because
we want to see it succeed.
We do.
Yeah.
And you can't invite families to shows like this and say, bring your kids, and then have a wrestler calling someone a cocksucker.
Yeah.
You know, you just.
Because the families that are upset about it, like, you might get the off people that make a big, you know, public ordeal about it. But really, just what will happen is, oh, well, we went to that. I didn't approve of the content. So we're just not going to go back to the next one.
And we're going to get less and less families and less wrestling fans and more trash birds that are going to come in there and yell and cuss. And eventually, like someone I talked to, throw stuff in the ring. It could get worse.
Yeah.
And none of us want to see that. We all want to see Cape Championship Wrestling succeed. So I want them to address this, if not publicly, pretend it didn't happen, move on, and don't do it again.
Right.
And again, we work very close with Cape Championship Wrestling. It's something we love, but we're not going to ignore something that is a problem.
Right.
That's that journalistic integrity, you know? So that's the thing. We want to see that cleaned up a little bit. We really do. Aside from that, there was some big news coming out. The event itself was great. The wrestling was solid.
Oh, yeah, no.
It was intense and brutal. That cage match between Brandon and Hollis was off the charts. Del Tucker versus Jason Vaughn, really, really good. And Tony Kazina versus Brandon Espinosa was just amazing.
Yeah.
Just one of the best matches I've ever seen live.
The more I thought about it this weekend, because I was just kind of like going over in my head, I'm like, okay, I have like these like three favorite moments that to me like stole the show.
Yeah.
But they all came from three different segments. So it's like I can't even pick what my favorite part of it, because Hollis and Brandon were amazing. That SP Cozina match was brutal.
Yeah.
As was the Hollis SP match. I am now a lifelong fan of Del Tucker.
Yeah, Del Tucker. I said, all right, so I wrote an article today on blogzilla1985.com about Cage Chaos. And in that I said that one thing Cape Championship Wrestling has done really well is establish people. Del Tucker, this was only his second appearance, and he also looks like $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, he's being set up as the best pure heel on the show, because Brandon kind of walks that line between, he's a tweener kind of, you know,
a little bit. Yeah. I mean, he has that section that comes in and cheers for him.
And he high fives him and he shakes their hands. Billy is a great bad guy, but he's so funny. He's so funny in an antagonistic kind of way.
Right.
There was nothing funny about the beatdown.
It
was just intense. Yeah. Del Tucker is just a good old school heel.
To kind of skip ahead and spoil a little bit, the tag team of Del Tucker and Billy Hills in this tag tournament next month. Yeah.
And we're gonna talk about
we'll
that tag tournament.
That,
yeah, just one second. You bring up a good point though. What was your favorite moment of the show? Let's start with Allie. Allie, what was your favorite moment of the show?
That's a hard one to answer. The Jason Del match was probably my favorite.
And the beatdown that came after it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my favorite part. Dalton, what about you?
I really, really enjoyed the SB Kazina match.
Yeah, that was an awesome match.
Just Del taking out like three people at once.
Including the ref.
Because it was so unexpected. Like, it really wasn't expected. This was, like you said, the second time we'd seen him.
Right. And the first time he was a good guy.
He came as part of Team CCW.
Right.
Got annoyed with Jason Vaughn, attacked him. And that was all we saw. Other than him super kicking Blaster immediately.
Yeah.
Which again was great. That was super entertaining. But yeah, just the way that I wasn't expecting that level of intensity.
No.
At all. And just.
He went full ham.
He did. And
he went
it was,
full ham.
It was amazing. But then at the same time, like, I remember when Cozina came out and Espy came out, because up until this point, like, we'd always cheered Espy.
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of I don't know who to root for, like, in this match, because I like both of these guys. But then Espy just jumps Kazina as the ref is doing his pat down.
So JR, like, actually, I remember JR sat next to me in alley and he said, so who's the bad guy here? Mm-hmm. And then before he could even finish, Espy attacked him.
Cause we were getting ready to just be like, oh, well, it's like, this is just going to be an exhibition, you know, good guy versus good guy, you know, so it'll be,
but it wasn't.
Oh no, Espy.
Cause as good as Espy is as a good guy, he is a terrific bad guy.
And I always kind of thought he would be.
Yeah.
Just from
the way he carries himself.
Yeah.
He kind of just kind of looks like that angry, I know I'm better than
you. Oh no,
kind
and it's
character.
Totally believable.
Like, he is better than us.
And seeing Damone again.
Oh, like, Damone. Let me talk about that a second. My favorite part was, Blaster. It still was because we handed out Blaster. Barry created some Blaster section, sheets, mm-hmm. signs, and we handed those out to the crowd and nobody wanted to do it because nobody wants to embarrass themselves. Mm-hmm. So of course I grab a giant stack and I just start walking through the crowd yelling, who wants Blaster signs? Get your Blaster sign here. Not the first time I've done something like that. So me and Allie and Tanner and Barry handed those out. And when Blaster came out and they introduce him as like fan favorite and, you know, and they, mm-hmm. they really hype him up now. And then people are holding up the Blaster section signs. I wanted to know what he was thinking.
When
thank you. I believe that's what he told us after the show.
I don't remember if it was Kelly or Lane that was like, oh, so is this the Blaster section? We're like, everywhere's the Blaster section.
It was Kelly because he just looked around and he was like,
he's like, what? I also very much love that Blaster was trying to like slap hands and like really eat it up with Jeff O'Dell.
Yeah, you can tell there's some
little animosity. Like,
there's some problems in Pinnacle in general, I think.
Oh yeah, end of that tag team match, that was weird.
The main event was weird, and we'll mm-hmm. talk about that in just 1 second. Big announcement from that show, which by the way was a great show. Mm-hmm. Colt Cabana is going to be
at the April show,
so which is their
joining,
big show.
Joey Ryan and Jeff Cobb.
Yes.
Yay.
Dalton, very excited about Colt Cabana.
Yes.
Colt Cabana was actually there, sort of, via TV. He had a recorded message that they played, mm-hmm. saying he was going to be there and calling out the Pinnacle, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
To hear somebody like that, who's so big, mm-hmm. call out, you know, our guys.
Is awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It just shows you how legit CCW has become.
It makes me,
just goes back to the cocksucker comment.
Right. Which is one of those things where it's like, again, like no one here at the table is offended by that.
No.
It's just and granted, none of us book a wrestling show. None of us know what it's like to own a federation. Just as a fan, when you see it, like, okay, they're advertising this as family friendly. But then it's kind of like, okay, well, I see that stepping over the lines of that, and we don't want them to lose fans.
Yeah, we don't want to be the only guys out there along with War Child.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To me, it reminds me of this store. Like, when people come in to play in the game area here at Gaming Grounds, I don't care if they curse because I'm an adult.
Right.
You can curse all you want. It doesn't bother me. But this is a family store.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I can't have you over here yelling the F word if some kid walks in with his grandparents to buy a game because that hurts my business.
Right.
And we don't want to see CCW's business get hurt.
Right.
That's where that's coming from. They also announced the Big Tag Tournament. That's going to happen on February 25th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow.
Yes.
At 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
CapeWrestling.com. Keep up with them on Facebook.com/ Cape Championship Wrestling.
Yes.
And I have the official list for the tag matches. These are the people and the matches themselves. The bracket, as Asa said before the show. So in the opening round, here's what we got. And this is exciting stuff. The LA Hustlers, who a lot of people were really hoping would be there mm-hmm. at the show, versus what I think is pound for pound the best tag team in this show. Allie's smiling like she thinks I'm going to make a joke. No, this one's legit. Hollis Giroux and Austin Lane.
Yeah. That's,
oh, my God.
I watched the Facebook Live video that Jason did. And Austin was there and he's like, okay, who do I have to, who am I dragging to the championship? And Jason's like, your tag team is Hollis. And he's like, oh, this will be easy.
Team kicking heads off.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is a tag team like I never thought I'd see. And that is just incredible.
I changed my favorite moment of Cage Chaos quick. Whenever during the tag match, they were fighting right in front of us.
Yeah.
And, Lane throws a little bit, gets thrown into Sarah and Billy, and I yell nice catch because they throw him back to Lane, but I was saying it to Lane, and Billy was like, thank you. And as he was looking at me, Lane just super kicked him, and I was like, nice catch.
Oh, and that was a hard super kick,
too. Oh, yeah. It's one of those, you never get to see it like 3 feet from your face.
Right.
And it was more than it was like from me to Shannon.
Cause I saw Billy's head snap and I was like, jeez, that was show was brutal.
Sorry for interrupting that. I realized that was what my favorite moment was.
Well, okay. If you want to get technical, my favorite moment was Brandon, barbed wire got in my face, but I'm going to talk about that in a second too. I've got to talk about that. Sexy Sarge and Little Bit versus Brandon Barbed Wire. Speaking of the champ mm-hmm. and the Blaster. And by the way, you're welcome. From Podzilla 1985 to you, Cape Championship Wrestling, you're welcome.
For the gift of Blaster.
For the gift of Blaster. And it's not even Blaster anymore. It's the Blaster in all caps.
Exclamation points.
And I would like to take credit for that as well, because I refer to him as the Blaster in the picture I made for him. Again, you're welcome. There's a reason we love Blaster.
It sounds like Brandon's not going to be the first dual champion in CCW.
I don't know. They're fighting, was it Sarge and Little Bit in the first round?
My statement stands.
Say, I bet Little Bit can take Blaster.
Do you remember the Tucker match?
But the Blaster.
But the Little Bit.
Sarah Summers, for some reason, is teaming up with Espy. Brandon Espinoza, to take on Roscoe Eat Lisa, which sounds like the worst indie band. I've never heard of them before. No offense to them.
I mean, a lot of people are really excited. Like, they made that announcement, a lot of people were super excited, and it might just be that I'm not familiar. I'm just, because it was the same thing with LA Hustlers.
Yeah.
I'm not super familiar with them. But
I get LA Hustlers. Mm-hmm. They're from LA and they're hustlers.
But Roscoe Eat Lisa
Lisa sounds like a terrible indie band. Does it not?
It sounds like one of those bands I would tell you about and make you listen to three of the songs, and then you'd put in the group chat and be like, well, Dalton likes another stupid band.
I feel like they would open for Third or Sex.
Third or Sex.
You know?
No, I don't.
They would open for 13 Clocks for Joyce.
13 Clocks for Joyce.
And then, and here's the other one that Ace is going to be excited about. Billy Hills and Del Tucker.
Yep.
Versus J.D. Wilkes, who debuted at Cage Chaos.
Yep.
He's Jason Vaughn's ward.
Mm-hmm. We've seen him at Stride.
We have. We saw him at the last show. And he's teaming up with Jason Vaughn to take on Billy Hills and Del Tucker. That is a stacked tournament right there. And who do you hope to see in the finals?
Tucker Hills.
Tucker Hills and Austin Giroux.
Agreed. 100%. Like, you hit it, nail right on the head there. As much as I love Espy and I love Sarah, that's a weird tag team right there. I get Little Bit and Sexy Sarge. Yeah. He's a porn star dancer. She's likes dancing.
I don't know. I could easily see Mardi Gras coming out for this.
I think Mardi Gras would work better.
Yeah.
Jason in the live video even said Little Bit or Mardi Gras, whoever decides to show up.
I'm super excited to see what happens between Blaster and Brandon, because
I want to see how they work as an actual team. Because
Brandon make a comment on the last show that he was on with everybody saying, "I just hope you don't pair me with Blaster."
And he's very disappointed. He in that Facebook live video when Jason was announced, or when he was announcing the teams, he was not happy about it.
Well, suck it up, Buttercup.
Because look at Delta. Blaster liked that belt. Yeah, now there's a new belt.
Yeah. And that belt's sexy,
so pretty.
You know who else liked that belt? Me. Because Brandon, at the beginning of his match, he comes over and he gets right in my face again, like every show. He puts his hands on me this time, grabs me. Allie thinks he's going to kiss me.
Yeah.
Kind of looked like it.
I felt anger, not eroticism. So I don't know where you guys got that from. I held on to his belt as he sat there and taunted me about turning. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm a journalist.
You would be the most effective heel fan in the world.
But I'm too big to be a heel fan. I'm not Caleb Carter. I'm not wheeling deals. I am a big bruiser. Like, if you bring Shannon Young into the fold, you don't bring him in to sit in the crowd and chant. You bring him in to bust heads. And I'm a journalist. I'm a pacifist. So thank you, Brandon, for the offer. But let me state once again that I will not betray Cape Championship Wrestling. Are you okay, Allie?
Is it Dalton? He's dying?
Okay.
I'm trying to help him breathe.
You don't want that, Brandon. Anyway, the last thing we'll talk about with CCW was the ending of the main event. Hollis Giroux versus Brandon Barbed Wire. Something happened. We don't know what. I literally don't know what, because from my vantage point, we couldn't actually see the pin.
They were on the far side of the ring.
Yeah.
They were on the opposite side of the ring from where we were sitting.
All I know is that referee Lane Austin stopped the count for Brandon. Hollis.
There was one fall where Brandon, was using the ropes, or Hollis was in the ropes.
Yeah.
So it looks like that's why he stopped it, which it is a cage match. You know, it's...
The rules are different.
The rules are different, so it's...
But here's the thing. Brandon, after he won anyway, and laid a brutal beatdown on Hollis after the show, so I'm really hoping that Hollis gets some revenge at the tag tournament.
Yep.
But after the show, Brandon calls out Hunter, our friend Hunter Hendricks, the GM of Cape Championship Wrestling.
Does the intro for the show.
Does the intro for the show. Thank you, Hunter. And blames him, says he paid off the ref. This is all I'm going to say on it, and then we're going to move on to some Stride news that Dalton has.
Yeah.
I have known Hunter Hendricks for a decade almost. I have known him for a long time. Hunter Hendricks is a friend of mine. The same reason that I won't betray him to go with Brandon Barbed Wire and to go on his side is because Hunter is a stand-up guy, and there's nothing that he would do. He doesn't need to pay off refs. He doesn't need to do anything like that. I don't know what Brandon Barbed Wire did, but I know he orchestrated it. And I know the truth will come out and Hunter will be proven innocent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't buy into the BS that Brandon's trying to feed you guys.
Yeah, and anytime you want to try to buy into the Brandon BS, let me remind you of his last couple of matches.
Yes, please do. Give us a history lesson, Professor.
He's beaten Jake Durden.
Yeah, how'd he beat him?
With the belt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he hit him in the head with the belt. Yeah, the ref didn't see it. All right, so there's one.
How'd he beat Austin?
Well, he didn't the first time.
Yeah, because Austin pinned him.
Yeah, after having two guys come to the ring.
Yeah.
Still couldn't put Austin away. The second time, he lost twice.
Yeah.
Just didn't count. Then got him the third time.
And then he didn't wrestle Hollis the first time because he was in a skiing accident or something?
He took a Michinoku driver, allegedly. But, you know, he ripped that neck brace off pretty quick.
Yeah.
And this isn't, and we're objective and, like, we're trying to stay as neutral as positive, but it's very hypocritical, in my opinion, that he is being very like, oh, Hunter paid the ref, which isn't proven. I watched you hit Durden.
Yeah.
I saw you tap to Lane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I saw you rip the neck brace off at Delta.
All we've seen is Brandon Barbed Wire do shady things to keep his belt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And why would we believe him over Hunter Hendricks?
Yes. And anytime, like, and if anybody wants to throw any flack to Lane Austin, the referee's way, be a referee for 5 minutes. Figure out that it's difficult. Because, I mean, Lane is the only ref that we've seen at indie shows aside from Kelly. He does Stride.
Well, there was that little blonde kid at Stride.
Well, yeah, but Maine.
But he had to leave because I think his curfew was up.
No. It's because Roswell got a hold of him. Yeah. Put him
Roswell.
Down.
Roswell!
I remember the names. And then.
That just reminds me of something.
Lane is hands down the hardest working ref in this area.
And the handsomest.
That.
No offense to Kelly. No offense to Kelly.
Y'all were doing that sexy ref chant. I was doing it too, but I was directing it at Kelly.
I know. We heard you tell him.
Yeah. He was so happy to hear
Point
that.
Is.
But yeah, like, so like, if you want to throw any flack Lane's way, his job's hard and he knows his stuff.
Not only that, but I saw Lane after the match. He looked upset.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that Brandon Barbwire did something to Lane, and I'm going to find out what. You know what we do? We journalize. And we're going to do that over this. We're going to find out what happened and we will keep you guys updated.
So as neutral as can be, Brandon, I don't believe it one bit. You're not an angel yourself at all.
None of us believe him.
Yeah.
We think he's scum. But he's our scum, at least. That is our CCW segment. Went on longer than I thought it was going to, but a lot of stuff to talk about. It was very exciting. Again, tickets go on sale tomorrow at 5 p.m. CapeWrestling.com, Facebook.com/Facebook.com. I said it. Cape Championship Wrestling. You can buy tickets there. I'll bleep that out. That's 21 minutes. Okay. Dalton, you got some news on Stride.
Yes, Stride. Stride has an event coming up. It looks like it's going to be the February the 11th. It's called the main event. It's looking like it's Team XXX versus the Midwest Mafia for the tag belts is going to be the big match that.
Would you say it's the main event?
Yeah.
What about the other, like, matches? Are they also main events?
I'm getting all the matches coming in from the person that I'm talking to with Stride. So hopefully next
Your
week.
Your source?
My source, yeah. Okay. Hopefully I'll have all the matches by
Has
next
Has this been
week.
Posted to the public yet?
I don't think the matches I've already gotten aren't, but I want to save that for next week.
Okay.
But it's going to be February 11th, bell times at 6:30, adults, $10, kids and under $5. It's going to be at the CMA Dojo at the Illinois Star Center Mall in Marion, Illinois. Fantastic wrestling.
We'll probably be there. We were at the last show and it was,
I know Dalton and I will be.
I will be there for sure.
More than likely.
You don't know your schedule yet, do you?
I do not. And there's a lot of stuff going on at work. I don't know.
Can't wait to see the awesome ticket lady that saw me the last time and said, "Hey, you're back." Just really fantastic people.
She better start addressing me as Mr. 100 or I'm not coming back.
She can address you as sir, and thanks for being here.
She can
here.
Address you however she wants. She's a grown woman.
I'm not going to make her.
Who owes you nothing.
Don't act like she hadn't heard.
That's true. But yeah, no, and I believe Billy said that he was going to be there. He confirmed to Asa and I that he was going to be at the show, but I just don't know his match yet. Hopefully by next week I'll get a better idea.
We'll keep us updated.
Yep.
Okay. So, Cape Championship Wrestling and Stride, two very important things. Make sure you check it out.
Yes.
Also, on Saturday, there was the NXT San Antonio Takeover San Antonio. And, we skipped it to watch Cape Championship Wrestling at the AC Brazee Arena, but we did watch it again on Sunday right before the Royal Rumble and thought it was a solid show for a show that had very little, like you said, Ace, a little build up to interest, man.
I was excited to see just about every match on the show, but it just felt so underwhelming, like the build up to it.
Yeah.
Cause it felt like we had a couple weeks of just filler, like there were the leftover takeover episodes. There were the shows from Japan that they filmed or Japan or Australia.
Yeah.
Maybe
Japan too.
It could have been.
Yeah, cause Nakamura won the title.
No, that was on the takeover? The last takeover he won the title?
No, he won it at a house show.
He won it at a house show in Japan.
He won it back in a house show in Japan.
Okay, yeah. So then, yeah, then that's the shows that we got.
Right.
Were the Japan shows. And so it just kind of felt like there wasn't a whole lot of build. And then yeah, the show itself, I felt, was kind of underwhelming for what we've come to expect for takeovers.
It didn't have the big fight feel that it normally does, although the wrestling was great.
Yeah.
I really liked that Roderick Strong, Andrade Almas match.
I did too. And I especially loved the, Authors of Pain versus DIY.
Such a good, like.
Real sad to see DIY lose the titles.
It was a really good match. That's the best the Authors of Pain have looked
ever
yet.
Yeah. I agree.
And I think that's equal credit to them and DIY, just making it look fantastic.
And what was
but
really
they
great,
made DIY look very believable.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was my favorite part about it, was that normally when you have the big dominating tag team, look at Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks. Look at Braun Strowman versus anybody. They're so dominating, you wonder, well, how the hell are you supposed to beat this guy? And then it makes it almost like you don't want to watch because you know they're just going to tear through the competition.
Yeah.
But the way they presented DIY versus them and the offense that they got in made sense. It's like Kalisto versus
Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Yep.
It all made sense. And it was very crisp and clean. And I honestly believe that DIY could have pulled it out. But, you know, they want to run with the big bruisers. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I don't think there's as much of a storyline for them as there's going to be with the other guys.
I mean, it always makes sense to have the this is one where I have to hold my judgment to see where it goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, in wrestling, it always makes sense to have the good guy chase the title.
Right.
That's just kind of the status quo of it.
My problem with that is you can't do it with DIY because you just did it.
You just did it with them.
You can't just rehash the same storyline you had with the Revival.
Right.
Because I'm not interested.
The only difference, I guess you could argue, is that with the difference between DIY versus Revival and DIY versus Authors of Pain is, okay, are Revival going to be able to out-cheat their way into a victory? Are DIY just going to be able to beat the Authors of Pain?
Yeah, which I don't think they will be. I think the Authors are probably going to enjoy a lengthy title run.
At this point, someone in NXT has to.
Yeah,
I mean, granted,
that brings us into our topic.
Which, don't get me wrong, Asuka, champion forever now. It makes
the most successful Japanese wrestler that they have ever in WWE.
We'll see.
As of right now.
That's not what was that was not what was argued. You be quiet.
Nope, be quiet.
But so Asuka before we get to that, the main event of Bobby Roode defeating Shinsuke Nakamura for the NXT championship after it looked like Shinsuke went down with a leg injury.
Hurt himself.
After he hit the
Bumiye.
The Kinshasa on the apron. Or to the outside. He did that running knee strike to the outside, landed funny.
Which, I mean, honestly looked like in fake injuries, well, not fake injuries. You know what I mean? Like,
storyline injury that
it looked good.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like it really hurt him.
And Nakamura is so good at selling and he's just so good.
Also,
that he made
did
it
you
look-
think it's, did anyone ever think of how odd it was that we had, I mean, it's NXT. It's not WWE. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the farm league, quote unquote, but that we had at this show two champions were both Japanese. Like, that is unheard of in American wrestling. It really is.
Yeah.
Name any other promotion where you had, you know, your two top titles, men and women's, both held by a Japanese superstar. That is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's nice to see because I would argue, I love Bobby Roode. I do. I've loved him since TNA. I loved him as Robert Roode. I loved Beer Money.
Yeah.
Hated Team Canada, but for all the right reasons.
Right.
That you're supposed to. So it's just, I feel like they're rushing it and they're rushing a lot of these title changes. Okay, we finally got it on American Alpha. They immediately drop it to the Revival again, but then they get called up to SmackDown. All right, we have DIY. They finally beat the Revival. Immediately drop it to Authors of Pain. Okay, Shinsuke Nakamura, he wins the NXT title. Immediately drops it to Samoa Joe. Beats Samoa Joe at a house show to get it back. And now he immediately loses it to Robert Roode. He has had zero successful title defenses.
Like, they're treating him like they treat Sasha Banks. Except instead of giving him a rival, they're just having him lose to everyone he fights.
Yeah. And with DIY, they had one successful title defense at least against, they had the one against TM61.
And then one against Tajiri and Tozawa.
But these were not.
That was at that Japanese house show. House show in Japan.
And these were just on NXT. These weren't. And I know I say just NXT, but
meaningful title defenses is what I've been saying the entire time.
Yeah.
Like epic title defenses. Yeah. Like whenever you do the big shows, that's when people are really paying attention.
Yeah.
And to have DIY drop it so quickly. And Shinsuke is the worst
it's
when it comes to him dropping. It's inexcusable. There was no reason to have Roode hotshot the title so quickly.
Yeah. And especially when they go out of their way, it looks like, to protect Nakamura by giving him, his leg was hurt.
Yeah.
So that's how Roode won the title. Like, he's already lost the title twice cleanly. Like, there's really no reason to
protect him
like that.
Yeah.
And this really kind of felt like a match that Roode could have survived totally unscathed.
Yeah. But now you hurt Nakamura's brand. Because now Nakamura doesn't seem like that dominant charismatic superstar we saw when he debuted against Sami Zayn, he seems like a guy that lucked himself into the title twice.
Yeah.
And lost twice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrible because Shinsuke Nakamura is money. So is Bobby Roode. But Bobby Roode was money before he got the title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People were already doing the glorious thing. They were doing the chants. They were singing along with his music.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't need to beat Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke Nakamura needed to legitimize his title reign, and he did not.
Yeah.
And I hate
that. Absolutely. And then you have, on the opposite end of the spectrum, I don't know where they're going with Asuka at this point.
Yeah, she has
not only beaten everyone, she's destroyed everyone.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Basically, Peyton Royce and Billie Kay took out Nikki Cross. And then Asuka beat both of them at the same time.
Badly.
Handily. Yeah.
Kicked their faces off. Their face.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Del Tucker, don't hurt me.
The only thing I can figure is this women's tournament that's coming up,
mm-hmm.
that maybe they're thinking they're going to bring someone in from that, maybe have her win and have her challenge Asuka. Yeah.
And I mean, that would work, but I feel like it's almost coming to the expense of the other women on NXT.
Yeah.
Like, so Allie is a more casual fan, like newer fan. Do you think that when you see, okay, whoever Asuka's next challenger is it going to be Mandy Rose? Is it going to be Liv Morgan? Even Ember Moon, who they've done a pretty good job of protecting.
Yeah.
But do you just think, oh, well, Asuka's just going to run over them? Or do you see any of them as, like, legitimate contenders?
Well, I really haven't seen much. So it's hard to give a good answer. But with what I've seen from Asuka, it seems like she's just going to plow over anyone that's in her way.
Except Ember Moon. I will go out on a limit and say that Ember Moon is the only woman in the division that they've built up as a legitimate threat other than Asuka. And I mean that.
I can see that because I think she's still undefeated.
Yeah. I mean, I like Peyton Royce and mm-hmm. Billie Kay. That's mm-hmm. a great duo.
Right.
But they're also kind of built as a, well, we can't survive without each other. We're not strong enough type thing.
Right.
So, you know, neither of them are going
to
beat Asuka.
And they literally just lost to her 2-on-1.
Yes. Nikki Cross, I don't know what they're doing with Nikki
Cross.
They
protected her in the sense that, you know, they put her through that table. They threw her off the stage. So,
But I don't feel like they've really put the money behind her that they put behind Ember Moon. And by the way, Ember Moon should get the money behind her because she was amazing as Athena mm-hmm. On the indies. She's a great wrestler. She has one of the best finishers that makes me terrified every time I see it.
Oh.
Her character, even though her character doesn't match the way she acts, is mm-hmm. still a cool, she's got a cool visual.
Yeah.
She's attractive. She's everything that they would want in a champion. And I think that Ember Moon, if anyone, is going to be the one to take the title off Asuka, unless they find somebody in this new tournament. Right. By the way, love that Ember Moon, one, got half of her name from Sailor Moon, two, does Sailor Moon's hand signal.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome to me.
Yeah, it just like, this really felt like the way that you could still very much protect Asuka's undefeated streak and take the title off of her. So she's...
Because she didn't have to get pinned.
Yeah.
And then imagine a pissed off Asuka going on a rampage because she lost her title because of, you know...
Because of someone else.
Peyton Royce and...
Yeah.
Or Sanity herself, you know?
I will say the women's match was probably the best build.
Oh, absolutely.
Out of all of the matches.
Yeah, it did.
You mean it had a build?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Because...
Dalton, did any of the matches on the pay-per-view have a build?
Yeah. One.
Sorry.
Because the Eric Young Perfect 10 match, that was literally the week before, where Eric Young offered him a spot in Sanity, and he rejected it. That was a really good match, too. Eric Young wins clean. Like, okay, this is Ty Dillinger's goodbye to... Or Dillinger... Hunter's going to get mad now.
I always think Dillinger escape plan.
That's... Yeah.
His escape plan was that he was leaving NXT to go.
Well, and then they don't... Like, he's not even on... He's not on Raw or SmackDown. He's not even mentioned.
Yeah.
So, it seemed like that was his farewell from NXT, but then... They don't do anything with him.
I don't want him to go to WWE main roster because for the same reasons I didn't want Tyler Breeze to go.
I think he would do well on SmackDown because they need more believable characters up there.
I agree with you, but
I don't know what they would do. Look at the track record
of NXT wrestlers when they go up to the main roster. For every Kevin Owens, you have Tyler Breeze, Ascension, Apollo Crews.
Mm-hmm.
These guys that were so good in NXT just didn't catch on the main roster.
I don't think it's Apollo Crews' fault.
No,
they needed to leave him.
How do you miss the boat on Apollo Crews?
How
do you miss the boat on a guy that athletic who looks that big and muscular and can do backflips in the ring like that?
They brought him up way too early.
They gave him no character.
Yeah. Can you imagine, if the next contender for Bobby Roode was Apollo Crews?
It would be phenomenal.
Do that NXT takeover match.
Yeah.
You let Cruz show his character, like,
but
do more than just smiling.
Instead, we'll probably get Nakamura versus Roode 2, and I swear to Christ, if Nakamura wins, I'm just gonna throw something at the TV.
Yeah.
Cause you're not gonna believe it. It's like when Sasha would win the title from Charlotte.
Yeah.
What would we all say? Okay, well, she'll lose it at the next pay-per-view. And that's how I'm starting to feel about Shinsuke. It's like, oh, he won the title again? He'll lose it at the next takeover to the next guy that they brought in from TNA that they want to push real hard?
Yep.
Whatever. Pisses me off.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. And I don't see how it makes anyone look better. Just win the title, lose the title. Win the title, lose the title.
I absolutely love
50-50 booking.
Just pass it around, yeah.
I absolutely love older NXT, the way they held that belt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, well, and to be fair, the head writer at that time is now the head writer of SmackDown.
Oh, really?
There's a reason SmackDown's ratings were at a 6-month high.
Yeah.
Now.
But like the old NXT, like I started watching whenever Big E had the belt. So I had like a couple of months to catch back to whenever Seth had it.
Yeah.
But like even whenever Seth Rollins had it, he was just so dominant. Whenever Big E had it, he was so dominant. Bo Dallas had to borderline kill that man to get that belt off of him.
Neville mm-hmm. looked real good with
Neville
the title.
Neville had to win the belt in a ladder match. I want to say Sami Zayn had to go through like a triple threat match with him and Tyson Kidd at one point, had to do a fatal four way with Neville, Tyson Kidd, and Zayn.
They
earned it. And yeah. And like Balor or Owens winning it was right when it started getting more like
just a little bit now it's a passing of the torch.
And a little bit more wrestle angly compared to just like these are amazing wrestlers. This is the next guy that we're gonna be grooming. Mm-hmm. And then that's like Owens was kind of the split. And then you had Balor win it, which was amazing. And then I'm not saying anything it's Samoa Joe, but the Joe Balor's right when the NXT title started getting a little bit more like
passing it around.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's not that Joe didn't have amazing matches for it, but it's right whenever it started getting a lot more.
Is
like,
that where they just pretty much straight up like started handing it off to the next challenger?
Yep.
Cause it was Owens to Balor to Joe to Nakamura back to Joe Nakamura. Now Rude.
Yeah.
And these reigns are only lasting from takeover to takeover, as opposed to, which months, granted they did months. Less takeovers in the past, but
they're still doing about four.
It's still hot shotting though. Like even if Nakamura held the title for 2-3 months, how many times did he defend it? And what level of visibility did he have on those title defenses versus takeover, which everyone knows is the big show before one of the main four, mm-hmm. you know, WWE events. I just think it's awful that they're hot shotting it around so quickly. And who is going to be the next person to face Bobby Roode for it? Because I don't think Nakamura is going to win it back. I don't think so. I think they're going to keep it off Nakamura. So then you have to wonder, well, who else in NXT is ready for it?
I think Rude will get I don't know who will do it the next takeover, but I think it'll be Roderick Strong.
I was thinking Roderick
Strong. He had a really strong showing against, Andrade Almas, which their whole feud was based on Almas being mad that Strong eliminated him from the number one contendership.
Right.
Fatal four way.
But it just feels like NXT is a lot different than it used to be.
Yeah. And the issue
and that's
is
a shame.
And they are in a rebuilding period too.
They are because a lot of their good guys went to the main roster.
Yeah.
But NXT is also having, and I mean, I want to say really bad issue, but I love it, is that they're signing a lot of known names.
Because then they start passing the titles around to them.
Because it's just like, all right, so.
Oh, we signed Robert Roode and he's been here for 2 months and the crowd loves him. Give him the title.
Yeah.
We signed Samoa Joe. Give him the title.
And no way Jose
Nakamura,
is
give him
just
the title.
Kinda, he's still doing his thing.
And it pushed down people like Aiden English. It pushed down people like Corey Graves. It pushed down people like Bo Dallas and Tyler Breeze. Like Tyler Breeze had to put Jushin Thunder Liger over, who only had one show at NXT. Don't get me wrong. I get that, but it keeps pushing Ty Dillinger down every time. Sorry, Hunter. And it's just one of those things like, and I mean, I love that they're bringing in all this talent because I know they're eventually going to make it to the main roster. But if this is truly a developmental system, you are learning from these veterans, but whenever you're having to put these veterans over, it's not really giving you a great rub. It's the whole John Cena effect.
I still remember when Tyler Breeze was in NXT and I watched the match between him and I want to say it was Sami Zayn or maybe it was Finn Balor, maybe, but he looked so good and they played him up as, yeah, he's a pretty boy,
but
look
how tough
he is. He's a
legitimately great wrestler.
Can you do me a favor? Yeah. By next week, watch the Fatal 4-Way match. I think it's like TakeOver Fatal 4-Way.
That may have been the match I'm thinking of. Who was in it?
That was the one that was Tyson Kidd, Neville, Zayn, and Tyler Breeze.
Okay, I haven't seen that. I'll watch
it. It is.
No, it's amazing. And it'll give you a whole other respect for Tyler Breeze, too.
I love Tyler Breeze, but I knew as soon as he went to the main roster, I was like, well,
I said that. Yeah,
look at Adam Rose. I thought Adam Rose was great. But
did you watch him on NXT?
His entrance was great.
It's him in NXT?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
3 weeks before.
Yeah.
I saw him as Leo Kruger too. And he was great.
Those are two different people in my opinion.
Leo Kruger should have been called up to the main roster, not Adam Rose.
But I'm just saying, like, I feel like they don't know what they're doing down in NXT right now. And people still praise it and it should be praised because the events are great, but it lacks the long term.
Everything feels really, everything seems very knee jerk.
we're going to leave the Royal Rumble for last.
Yeah.
Because we got about 20 minutes left. I want to go over some of these things. No, it's fine. That means we had discussion.
Yeah.
That's what some other podcasts lack. That's not a shot at anybody in general.
I was going to say, I was like, what?
Lucha Underground is heading to Netflix.
Yay!
Canada.
Dang you, Press Start. To join, you get one more thing than me.
Oh, yeah, we got to go over there.
Yeah, we do.
We just got to hit them up. Yeah, we've been wanting to watch Lucha Underground. I actually can watch Lucha Underground now. I get El Rey on Sling.
Ooh, that means I might. Well, yeah. But it would have to catch it live. They don't do on-demand. Unless El Rey has their own on-demand service
does
that you
PS
can log
View
into.
Does that give you a
not
DVR?
I don't think so.
It gives you DVR, but not El Rey.
Yeah.
For some reason, El Rey is on Sling, but not on View for some reason.
Darn it.
So I have caught a couple of Lucha Undergrounds, and they are exactly what I thought they'd be. Great wrestling
Amazing.
Mixed in with just movie plot lines.
And that's what it is. This is not a wrestling show. This
no.
is a TV show that happens to have professional wrestling in it.
Right.
Someone got sacrificed to a dragon.
Yeah. And if,
they sure did.
It's my favorite part.
And if there are people listening in Canada who haven't had a chance to watch Lucha Underground, if you get it on Netflix, and even if it does end up coming to American Netflix, which we're keeping our fingers crossed that it does.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Arrow and like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You really got to push through the first half of the first season. And then it really picks up and gets great.
I've always said that if they really wanted to help wrestlers out is to have seasons like sports.
Yeah.
Don't have wrestlers go the entire year.
Right.
Maybe have them go half a year and then they get half a year off and then another set of wrestlers go half a year and kind of bounce back and forth. I know why they don't do it.
Right.
Because
it's money.
It's money. Yeah. Exactly. But that's what's great about Lucha Underground is they actually have seasons. They film so many episodes. There's a storyline that goes through all of it. And then you have to wait for season 2 to see what's next. As a wrestling purist, I hate it because it goes against everything that I knew about wrestling when I was a kid. But as an adult who just enjoys fine entertainment, it's good.
Isn't it like 39 episodes season 1, 26 episodes season 2?
Yeah, they're pretty big.
They're lengthy. And
it's not like it's a 12 episode run.
Yeah,
I know. And they're like 45 minute episodes. Like you get a lot of storyline. Mm-hmm. Not like Wrestling Society X.
I remember that show.
10-year anniversary.
Super
was
Piranha
like last week.
Death barbed wire match. I still remember that.
Yeah,
that kept popping up in my Twitter
I remember
feed.
Seeing the human tornado there.
Yes.
Yep.
Who weighs, I believe, 74 pounds.
Do you remember the amazing wrestler Matt Classic?
I sure do, buddy. He's going to CCW.
No, Cole Cabana is.
Shut your mouth. Marty Jannetty did a recent interview. Asa, we were talking about this before the show, that Ted DiBiase Jr. had made a return to wrestling over the weekend at a charity show. And they did an interview with Marty Jannetty where because we were talking about the what were they called?
It was Legacy.
Legacy
was the
and how it was the assumption that Cody Rhodes was going to be the Jannetty of the group. And Marty Jannetty, as weird as it sounds, just did an interview where he was criticizing the fact that in 2017 we're still calling people the weak side of the team the Jannetty. Allie, do you know why they call him that?
No.
Can I school her or do you want to do it, Dalton? I'll do it because you're not
paying
attention.
No.
Okay.
So. I just saw a news article that says Ricochet is free from Lucha Underground.
Yes.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
like, too.
He said that his contract is up, which is a weird thing because of the way they do their seasons and that story we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
where,
sorry. That's why I was at. What do I need to school Allie on?
I'm a schooler. I'll
okay,
take
cool.
it. Don't worry. So in the 80s, there was a team called the Rockers. It was Shawn Michaels. You know Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
And Marty Jannetty. This is when they first came into WWF at the time. And they were a great tag team. They were my favorite tag team. Like, I loved the Rockers. They were high flyers in a time where there weren't a lot of high flyers. They were really good.
Especially on WWF TV.
Right. So Shawn Michaels starts to turn bad. They do this epic, infamous segment on Brutus the Barber Beefcake's barbershop. And he's literally in a barbershop kind of setting. They ask him, you know, are you guys going to break up? Or are you going to stay together? They shake hands. They say, we're brothers. We're never going to break up. Marty Jannetty turns around. When he turns back, Shawn Michaels super kicks him in the face and throws him through the window. One of the, probably the biggest, other than Hulk Hogan, I'd say probably the biggest heel turn of all time. I would say.
You could make behind Hulk Hogan, yeah, you could make that argument.
I think so. And then from that point on, because Shawn Michaels went on to do such great things.
He became Shawn Michaels.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas Marty Jannetty just kind of.
Became Marty Jannetty.
They kept putting him in terrible tag teams. They kept trying to redo the Rockers. So they now refer to the weak half of a tag team as the Jannetty. And Marty Jannetty's sick of that.
It's kind of on his own fault, though.
Well, no, because Marty Jannetty, was never bad.
It's not his fault that they decided to try to do the new Rockers almost immediately after.
Because there were some great Marty Jannetty moments. When he came back for revenge against Shawn Michaels for that original IC title thing, that was great. Even a couple years ago when they brought him in as
against
older Marty Jannetty, he looked good. He could still go. I would make an argument that they could have signed him then and he could have still been a legitimate contender. So Marty Jannetty never did anything wrong. He was just unlucky that Shawn Michaels was that good.
He was Shawn Michaels, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So that's always the, so whenever.
So leave Jannetty alone!
When Ted DiBiase Jr. and Cody Rhodes were the team, DiBiase had the body, he had the look, he had the charisma, maybe not necessarily the microphone, the promo Maurice. Ability.
He did have the, he well that was after Legacy though.
Yeah. So everyone just kind of assumed, okay, DiBiase Jr. is going to be the star. He's going to be the breakout. And then Cody Rhodes, I don't think anyone was ever low on, like no one, he had the lisp and there was, you know, he had
they,
some
they
struggles.
They compared him to Goldust.
Yeah.
They were like, okay, yeah, Cody Rhodes is good, but Goldust is legendary.
Right.
In the same way I assume that,
Dusty
yeah, they compared
and he was
Dustin
also
to
completely
Dusty.
Different body type than his brother. Cause whenever he started in
and
WWE,
his dad,
yeah,
he
was skinny
so
pretty
little.
One.
Yeah. He was so little when he started WWE.
But I think it's also important to note that we'll never truly know whether or not DiBiase could have been the Michaels or the Jannetty.
Cause
because
he asked to leave. Yeah.
He retired.
Yeah.
From what I understand, for religious reasons.
He became more active in his church and like was doing youth
which
stuff,
I'm not going to fault him for.
No, yeah. He just, you know, he didn't have the passion for it that other people do. Like he gave it a shot. Like it was in its family lineage. He wanted to, you know, give it a shot. He did.
Yeah.
I thought he succeeded. I thought he was good.
I thought he was good.
He had a modified version of the $1 million dream that ended in a slam.
Oh, so pretty.
Which was the $1 million man's finisher.
Yeah.
I really liked, but everyone just kind of assumed he was going to be the big breakout star and Cody Rhodes would do okay.
Right.
And then it turns out Cody Rhodes is now this global superstar and
the American Nightmare.
Yep. Oh, I need that shirt.
Speaking of nightmares. Let's talk about Seth Rollins.
We can do Foley real fast.
Okay. you want to go with the good news first?
Yeah, Mick Foley.
Well, hell, before we even do that, let's just get this out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Twitter. Look up New Japan NJPW World.
Yep.
At NJPW World. That's New Japan Pro Wrestling's Twitter. And you can see the Kenny Omega Rainmaker Okada match for free right now
from
Wrestle Kingdom
11. They posted it yesterday. It's for 1 week. You're able to go and watch that match for free. Meltzer gave it 6 stars. It's being hailed as one of the greatest matches of all time.
Except by Jim Cornette.
About went not PG.
I heard Sarge had a name for him.
So yeah, it's if you have 50 minutes to spare,
I'm gonna say get some popcorn,
and you haven't had a chance to watch it yet, this is the best chance you're gonna get unless you just flat out sign up for New Japan NJPW
or pirate it
World,
like we did, which I don't recommend.
No,
you know
that was so weird on the Austin podcast. He was like, yeah, you can catch it on YouTube. Like they kept talking about just watching it on YouTube, and I was like, that seems
somebody in the background
weird.
Going, he was in Austin. You're going Austin. No.
Like even Omega
That's
didn't
illegal.
Correct. He's like, well, we have our own streaming service. You can watch it on that.
Mick Foley. Tell me about Mick Foley.
Mick Foley, got his health insurance reinstated. And not only that, but his hip replacement surgery has been approved. He made a Facebook post talking about it. Basically, he doesn't know when he's going to get it yet because, it's a 6-week recovery time. And in that time, he's not allowed to fly, which makes touring for Raw impossible.
Right.
So they may do a thing where he gets written off of television.
Which
maybe,
they've kind of been hinting at.
Maybe permanently even,
yeah.
Because he even said they're basically on a handshake deal. He doesn't have a set contract.
And they've really been building up the storyline that Stephanie's disappointed in his performance on Raw.
Yeah.
So
so hopefully he gets that surgery soon. He desperately needs it. He deserves it.
Yes.
Really happy that he finally got his health insurance back, and mm-hmm. this is being covered.
Have you heard anything about whether or not they're going to be able to get a personality surgery for Noel?
I thought you were going to say Tony Nese.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm just...
Because Austin
Aries...
Oh, now
I'm double sad.
Because Austin Aries is a jerk.
Did you see the clip of Noelle trying to train? It was on Holy Foley. I don't watch Holy Foley.
She smiles
too
much.
No.
Yeah, when she was with Enzo, and Enzo was just like, you got something to say to me? You got something to say back? And she's just like, should I be mean? It's she's adorable, yes. Mm-hmm. But my God, she better...
That was one of the...
Ooh,
it was one of my
that
favorite,
was rough.
It was one of my favorite tweets after the Royal Rumbles. Finally, the Holy Foley pre-show is over.
Jesus.
That made me laugh.
All right.
Yeah.
Seth now
Rollins.
Seth Rollins. Here's the bad news of the week.
Showed up on San Antonio for NXT.
To build up his storyline with Triple H. That was a good moment.
Called out Triple H. Triple H came out, brought out the army of security guards.
Was not
I'm
on
sure
the Royal
we'll
Rumble
the,
at all.
Nope.
It was the one
he was
time.
Banned from, he was banned from the building.
Which automatically made you go, oh, so he's going to be there?
Yeah.
Nope.
First time a ban ever worked.
Which, to be fair, he didn't really have a reason to be in there because Triple H wasn't there.
But
so.
Number 30 hit. We'll talk about that at the end.
This one's probably going to go long. Just
so Seth, we'll get this out of the way, then we'll have 10 minutes to bitch. So Seth Rollins
on
Raw,
10 ain't enough.
Samoa Joe made his big debut.
Yep.
Big Samoan debut.
Which was an awesome thing because Seth Rollins cut this amazing promo about slaying the king. I love that line.
Yeah.
I really do. That's
awesome.
How
about Triple H's line of,
and then Triple H
you
calling,
met the creator, the destroyer's
you will
not
meet
far
the
behind.
Destroyer. Yeah, the destroyer's so, not far to find. Get out here and meet your destroyer. So everyone just assumes it's Triple H. Samoa Joe blindsides him. The name of Samoa Joe's theme song is Destroyer.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the name of it. If you look it up on Spotify.
But that, so which, that Triple H promo made me, that,
cause his promo was really good.
It did
oh, it
to
was
you.
So, oh, it
was
did a
so
lot
good.
Of
that
to
was,
me.
I think now, that's could go down as one of his best moments.
Now, here's the thing. They're, it seemed like they were building towards, Rollins and Joe, which would be a fantastic feud.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is that they still want to do Triple H versus Rollins at WrestleMania.
Right.
So Joe would be the precursor to that. He's the mini boss.
Yeah.
You know, he's basically, he's Krang.
Yeah.
And you gotta fight
he
Shredder.
Gotta get to Shredder.
But then something happened.
Yeah, so Joe attacks Rollins brutally. It's brutal. And it's awesome. It looks great.
It's brutal in its brutality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could even call it brutal. Joe locks in the Kikina clutch, and as he like pulls him down, it looks like Seth kind of turns weird.
Yeah.
And his if you go back and watch it, his knee, his right knee, which is the one that blew out
when he powerbombed Kane.
Trying to powerbomb Kane,
yeah.
It just kind of buckles and takes him down. I've been looking on Reddit, like, you can even find little segments where Joe's like, cause he goes down and you can hear him yell, like, ow. Like, it's audible. Joe even asks him, are you okay? I hope so. Seth says, like, I hope so.
Ellie,
so,
you didn't know about this, did you, before the show?
I knew that he was injured, but I didn't know all the details.
Yeah, so, it's the same leg.
And so WWE.com broke the story and said that he, you know, was injured, Samoa Joe injured him, is all the headline said. Which, when WWE releases a statement that says, oh, a superstar is injured by other superstar, yeah. Pretty safe bet this is a storyline.
Because that's what I said, and then everybody else was like, nope, he's in Alabama. Yeah.
Meltzer confirmed, Seth Rollins has made a statement, so
they had a meeting apparently to discuss plans in case that Rollins can't fight Triple H, because Triple H, from what I read, Triple H wants to fight at Mania. He will be at Mania.
Yeah.
And he might even fight Joe.
Oh.
That's too rushed at this point. Like, I mean, I know you have, 10 weeks?
They gotta have a backup plan, though. Who else do you put Triple H against? You gonna put him against Taker again?
Does Triple H have to be on WrestleMania?
He said it.
Is the thing, though.
He said, so yes, he's gonna be there.
No, yeah, but I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, like, okay.
I mean, for us,
is there
no.
another match that you could do instead of just like, okay, Triple H has to make the card?
Maybe Triple H, or Armchair Booker. Mm-hmm. Triple H is pissed that Joe put out Rollins. He wanted to
but
take
Rollins
out.
But that makes no sense, because that's the whole reason of him bringing in Joe.
But maybe
why else do you bring in Joe?
Rough him up a little bit for me to kill him.
Just keep having Joe destroy people, and then in about 2 weeks, just have him just like what
destroy
he did
the wrong person,
destroy
and then
the...
be like, hey, we brought you in to work for us, and just have Joe go rogue.
Have him lay out Owens, and then have Triple H say, hey, that's
this
my guy.
Yeah, this wasn't part of the plan.
And then Joe tells him, no one tells me what to do, mm-hmm. and then chokes out Triple H.
And then you can have Joe Triple H, or you can have even like. Joe is the destroyer for Triple H, and then just somebody, I don't know who it could be, but then
him versus Owens.
Or I was thinking
not for the title though, because that's going to be Goldberg versus Lesnar.
I keep thinking bring in Nakamura, because it makes no, like the way they treated him on NXT, it makes no sense, and just be like, all right, so Nakamura lays out Joe, and then Triple H is just like, no, I brought you in here. You want to act like this? I'll deal with you myself. And then you have Nakamura, Triple H at WrestleMania. And you don't need 10 weeks to build that match. I'm sorry. You don't
need 10 weeks to build Joe versus Triple H. They could make it the week before.
No, I'm saying Nakamura, Triple H.
I would rather see Joe, Triple H, honestly.
Yeah. I'd rather see just Joe just demolish the roster and have Triple H, we have to rein you in.
Yeah.
But.
I just want to see Joe do well.
It's heartbreaking that Rollins is hurt. He missed last year's WrestleMania.
Bret Hart already released a statement saying that Rollins is so dangerous he can't even wrestle. That's
probably true.
He was chuckling somewhere.
Well,
only out of the left side.
Dude, no! Just because he's a bad person doesn't mean we have to be bad people.
Sorry. It's the damn Brandon heel thing.
And we don't have any, like, news on it. Like, they had to wait a couple days. He's in Alabama now, or Birmingham, to get his tests done.
Let's hope for a sprain. Sprain's only going to be about 5 to 6 weeks.
Like, he might be... Hopefully,
stubbed his toe.
Best case scenario, he misses Fastlane, but he's still okay. We can continue, because I don't want to see a Rollins Joe Fastlane match, because neither guy can afford to lose that match.
True. I don't want to see Rollins become the new Hideo Itami.
Yeah.
Just constantly injuring
just
himself.
Hurt, yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to see that. We will keep you updated on what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's a shame this happened when Joe debuted, because that's a big story in itself.
And it also, like, this kind of scares me for Joe, because if they decide to blame him because Tyson Kidd got hurt off a muscle buster. Which it's, again, like, it was a freak accident.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone actually blames Joe for that.
But could it be like a Rollins style?
Yeah, but you don't want that stigma.
Right,
of
where people criticize, well, you hurt people when you wrestle them.
Because
we've done, all right, to be fair, we have to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
We said this about Ryback.
Yeah.
We said this about Ahmed Johnson when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They hurt one or two people accidentally.
Yeah.
It's unfair for us to give them so much crap.
Right.
And then to give Joe
and then
or
try
Rollins
to give,
a pass.
And to give these guys
because
a pass.
We like them more.
Right.
No, it's wrestling. Accidents happen.
And I will say the difference between like Ryback and maybe even Johnson, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not that familiar with him, his career in general. Joe has been doing this for like 15 years.
I mean, Johnson was new.
Yeah.
And he was sloppy.
And Ryback was also relatively, like
new
he'd been
sloppy.
In FCW and stuff,
right.
But whereas Joe has worked for a very long time, relatively safely. It was the same thing with AJ Styles when people were calling to ban the Styles Clash.
Yep.
Because it was because he broke that one guy's neck because he tucked his chin.
Yeah, accidents happen in wrestling. The thing about wrestling is it's that old saying. Yeah, is wrestling scripted? Of course it is. But this is dangerous sport.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that
physical.
People are immune from
all right.
injury.
We'll keep you updated on that. Let's get to the Royal Rumble. We got a couple minutes left. I'm sure we're gonna go late on this one. I apologize. We'll try to knock this out as quick as possible. The tag team titles changed hand on Sunday when the Club finally beat Sheamus and Cesaro. And I'll say what I said before. Mm-hmm. Too little, too late. Don't tell me the Club is important now. You could have told me the Club was important when they debuted and they beat up the Usos when they looked like they should have won the tag titles. They never did. You pissed them around for months. And now you
made
want
them
me to
ball
believe.
Doctors.
Made them do terrible jokes and comedy. And now you want to tell me they're dangerous? No, you cannot do that. I don't buy it. I know they're going to lose the titles in a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care. And that is a shame because what a pair of talent that is.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's that. AJ versus Cena. Amazing match. AJ lost the title. I'm not happy about it, but
I sort of get it. I think that I love that match. That was a really, really good
match. That was a 5-star match from a 5-star man.
4.5 wasn't in the Tokyo Dome.
too much water.
That is a complaint. Don't make me branch off. The only thing that hurt that match was kind of that sense of an inevitability. That Cena was not losing that match.
Right.
Cena was going to tie Ric Flair's record. He was going to leave that championship. I love AJ Styles. You cannot say that AJ Styles did not get a strong championship reign.
Or in even his last match.
In a time that we didn't even think AJ Styles would ever hold the WWE championship.
Right.
He did, and he held it for a long time, better part of a year. And
his loss was intense. He went out. He didn't lose
Cena
to
hit
one AA.
Like 3 AAs.
Okay, and that's my criticism of it. Can I tell you my criticism?
Yeah.
I said this on either Twitter or Facebook or something.
Mm-hmm.
When I watched this match, the first part was great, but mm-hmm. about halfway through it, it felt like we were playing SmackDown and someone had their finisher set to Infinite.
Yeah.
And I hate that so much. I'm not a wrestler.
There's a reason they call it finishers.
Yeah, and I'm not a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a wrestler who's listening to this going, you don't know what you're talking about. You haven't been in this business. Fine. The fair criticism.
Mm-hmm.
But as a fan, whenever I see this, I think that's not good wrestling. That's just doing your finisher over and over again and them kicking out to create drama.
Yeah.
But that's not real drama. That's just a shock value drama.
Right.
Like there's no reason that John Cena should be able to hit the attitude adjustment on somebody on SmackDown and pin him. But then at the pay-per-view, suddenly he survives three of them just because it's the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. And I hate that. I wish that would die. You don't have to do that to do good wrestling.
Yep.
That's my only criticism of the match. Everything else was fantastic.
It was a great match. That sense of inevitability hurt it for me personally. I understand AJ eventually has to lose the title. I understand that Cena is eventually going to win the title. But I didn't want to.
And that's a bad taste.
I don't know what they do with AJ Styles now, though, going into WrestleMania.
I don't think this is the last time we've heard of AJ Styles as champion. I truly
don't. Oh, no, I don't either.
I feel like he has proven himself to WWE that not only is he a great wrestler, but he can sell merchandise.
I do very much think he will be a multi-time champion. I'm just talking like for his immediate future. Like,
who's he going
to
fight?
When he lost to Jericho last year, seemingly randomly, like he deserves a marquee match at WrestleMania.
Agreed.
He's proven that. He deserved it his first, like, when he first debuted at the Rumble last year.
Yeah.
But, like, he has absolutely put in the work and gotten himself over and is one of their top wrestlers they have in the company.
I'd say second on SmackDown behind Cena. I would say first.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I mean, and it's all, and at that point, it's just what tastes you have.
I'm sure if you go by merchandise sales, Cena is still top dog.
So I don't know where they go with him because everybody else kind of has we're seeing WrestleMania slowly get pieced together.
Yes.
And
hopefully.
I don't see where
do you go with Braun Strowman? You wanted to talk about this.
Yeah. This weirds me out. So at the Rumble, Kevin Owens defends his Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. Really good match. They did a lot of really cool stuff in there.
Jericho was locked in the Jericho cage.
He was a sexy pinata. And I just, the match really bugged me because Jericho drops the brass knucks. Kevin Owens hits a Superman punch wearing brass knucks.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman kicks out.
Mm-hmm.
William Regal was pissed.
That's what, there's no
causality went, what?
Yeah, there's no reason. Like, if you're going to have him even, if he's going to kick out, just get rid of the brass knucks.
Yeah.
They don't need to come into play then because that's just silly. But that's not even, so Braun Strowman comes out, attacks Roman Reigns, lays him out, Owens gets the pin. So, okay, I guess we're going with Braun and Roman, just not for like the US title like they could have done. Then during the Rumble match, Roman eliminates The Undertaker, and they have that stare down. Well, they have the stare down, and then Roman eliminates Undertaker, and Undertaker does the whole sit-up thing, and it goes all Undertaker-y. Okay, so they're doing Reigns and Strowman. Okay. Or Reigns and Undertaker. Like, I don't see where they're landing here.
Don't want to see that match.
I really don't want to see... I don't mind seeing Reigns Undertaker at WrestleMania. Like, that's whatever. I don't want to see them feed Reigns to... Or I don't want to see them feed Strowman, who's also undefeated, to Reigns at Fastlane to make him look legitimate. The only thing I can see them doing is Undertaker, lights go out, gong hits, distracts Reigns, Braun gets the win, and then because... Undertaker blames Reigns for costing him the Royal Rumble.
I never thought I'd say this, but I see more money long-term in Strowman than I do in Reigns.
I mean, I could see that. Okay, so...
And here's why. Because Strowman has done a great job in the past year or 2 years of getting himself over as a monster bad guy. Believable, too.
He's the believable badass. And it's not just his size, because we've seen people like that. Khali.
Kozlov.
Yeah, there are these monster men who you don't believe as legitimate threats to things. Like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you're big, but
when Strowman,
there's just something about them.
He has a presence.
Yeah.
He has a presence. Reigns, no matter how much they try to make you believe he's a badass,
the
fans don't buy it.
The look he gave the Undertaker when Taker was on the outside.
Oh, that was good.
That was a good look. That was a, oh no, that's the guy I don't want to cross. Not suffering succotash tater tots.
Yeah.
And a part of the reason that I completely agree with you seeing a lot of money in Strowman is the way they presented him on Raw after the Royal Rumble, which confused the hell out of me. Because the show opens with Owens and Jericho. Owens praising Jericho. He's the reason I retained the title. Blah, blah, blah. Strowman comes out and Owens and Jericho are both immediately afraid. Puts over Strowman huge. I was just getting ready to thank you. You're the guy. Like, I knew it was you, you know. Thank you.
Get out of here.
I was getting there. And then Strowman flat out's like, I want my title shot you promised me. What are you talking about? That never happened. Rolls tape of Owens. Okay, yeah, after Reigns is done, you're the next in line. You get it. Jericho claimed it was CGI, which was hilarious. And Strowman's like, I want it.
They did it in Rogue One.
No. He's like, I want it. I want it tonight. Foley grants the match. And the crowd is going nuts. Like, they're wanting to see this happen. They want to see Strowman face Owens. Strowman comes out for his match, attacks Chris Jericho, who's in commentary, puts him through the announce table to, like, level the playing field. The crowd is eating it up. People are super into Strowman, who's supposed to be your number one bad guy.
Right.
Roman Reigns then comes out, stops, like, costs him the championship match to, you know, even the score between the two of them, and the crowd is booing Reigns for getting his revenge.
It's bizarro land, Asa.
And it doesn't...
Where they cheer the bad guys they normally boo and they boo
they were in Texas.
They were in Corpus Christi. That's one of their, like, notoriously worst crowds. And so it's just real
Broadway.
Confusing to see. I don't know what they're doing with it, especially when you look at the Rumble match yourself, to kind of fast forward.
Yes, let's go to the Rumble.
You have number 30, a mystery
hold
spot.
Hold on.
How much over are we on time right now?
3 minutes.
We have number 30, the mystery spot. We don't know who it is. There has not been a big name surprise yet in this
not
entire Rumble.
Not a single one.
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Feed me.
We'll finish up this point and then
Baby
we'll
Bird.
Bash the actual Rumble match.
All right.
So the number 30 hits and it's Roman Reigns.
And if you have not watched the reaction videos that have been posted online,
mm-hmm.
go to 401 Mania, look up the story there.
Go to YouTube and just look Roman Reigns number 30.
Because the fan reactions are hilarious.
Yeah.
They are mad. I don't remember seeing a single person going, yay.
Yeah. People are upset. And the crowd, you could hear it in the crowd.
Deflated the entire crowd.
So you have your guy who you are pushing as the number one good guy in your company. This is the guy that you want at the top. He's already struggling to get a 60-40 split of positive reaction as it is. Why do you put him in a position to intentionally get booed? And the only reason I say that is because you have Randy Orton eliminate Roman Reigns to a huge crowd reaction. Everyone's super happy because they just didn't want Roman to win that bad. They're capitalizing on the anyone but yep. Roman mentality
because that was the only way
to make sure people are excited for Randy Orton.
That was the only way Orton winning was going to get a reaction.
Do you know the big part that's why, you know why that's even more messed up? Because Roman Reigns is a good guy. Randy Orton is a bad guy. So they wanted to make sure the bad guy was cheered, so they sacrificed the good guy that is already not getting cheered? I don't get it. I don't understand that.
In my opinion, they were trying to avoid the what seems to be lately, every Rumble match ends with not booing in the you're a bad guy and I don't like you, but booing in that wasn't what
we wanted.
This
isn't the choice that we want. We're not happy with this is the person you want
right.
us to.
So they knew if they picked Randy Orton in a Royal Rumble that had Brock Lesnar, Bill Goldberg, The Undertaker. You put him in a match like that and you have him win. The crowd's going to again get pissy and go, well, that's not who we wanted. But then you feed him Roman Reigns knowing that he's going to get booed when he goes out. And poor Roman Reigns, by the way.
Yeah.
I have so much sympathy for Roman Reigns when they basically went to him and said, you're number 30. You know, they're going to be pissed, right? Yeah. But we kind of want Orton to win.
Yeah.
So Orton's you're the
winning
sacrifice.
And we want people to be okay with it, this is the year you don't need people okay with it
because he's the bad guy.
If you have the crowd booing Orton, good.
Right.
Because he's not a good person.
And WWE does a very good job of spinning crowd reactions into their
favor.
Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can ignore the fact that they're booing because it's bullshit.
Yeah.
And say
and
that
spin
they're...
it like, no, they're booing because...
He's the bad guy.
Yeah. I don't get it. And especially on SmackDown, there were no hints of dissension between him and Wyatt. Wyatt came out, was proud of Orton. Like, championed him. Orton pinned Cena clean after an RKO in a match that also included Luke Harper. What? Which I like that they're putting Luke Harper up here, like teaming with Cena just to get his name like elevated because he deserves that.
Yeah.
But especially
one of my favorite moments of the Rumble.
The Rumble match itself, I honestly didn't hate.
No.
The first 30 minutes of was great. You have Strowman looking like a star. You have
the sequence with Braun Strowman getting the Helluva kick followed by the Baron Corbin clothesline.
It went longer than that. You have Dean Ambrose doing the second rope drop kick. Looks brutal. Puts him in the corner. Corbin hits him with a clothesline. Ambrose hits him with a clothesline. Helluva kick. And then Corbin just creams him over the top.
And one of the best eliminations I've ever seen in my life.
100%. That is one of the great Rumble moments.
And it, to me, that made Baron Corbin a star. Just that moment.
Corbin look like $1 million. That's a moment they can go to. Andre the Giant Battle Royal. This is bigger than that, I think.
Agreed. Agreed.
Corbin looks like a star, which hurts even more when he's just eliminated like a nobody. Because, here's our part-time roster to just kill everyone.
Yep. When Brock Lesnar comes in, he starts tossing people out left and right.
Yep.
Goldberg did a little better because he didn't eliminate 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked good. He looked
Goldberg did
tough.
Get, like his, yeah, he hit the spear. He hit the jackhammer on Zayn. Again, we have he just manhandles Lesnar again. Totally just ruins Lesnar.
Punks him again.
How hard did I laugh?
It was funny. We watched it and we're like, this is great. Now there's no reason for them to ever interact again, though.
If Lesnar says, I want a match at Mania, Goldberg would go, why?
Which they did. And I will say, the promo Paul Heyman cut and the whole yeah, but thing that he did, you can find it on YouTube. I'm sure it's great. And it makes total sense for Brock Lesnar to want the Mania match.
Of course. Yes.
It makes no sense for Goldberg to say yes.
No.
Goldberg's
beat him twice and eliminated him from the Rumble.
In an embarrassing fashion.
What do you want from Goldberg at this point? Like, why would Goldberg go, yeah, pride?
Yeah.
You already beat him. How many times can you beat
just
the same guy?
Just to rub it in, yeah. So they're going to have to do an Undertaker Shawn Michaels thing where at Fastlane, Goldberg wrestles Owens and Lesnar costs him the match.
Yeah.
So that's why he wants his. He's like,
or Goldberg
then I'll embarrass
wins.
You again.
That's the fear.
No.
That's the fear.
Lesnar beats, Lesnar attacks. Stop it. No.
Jack Gallagher was in the Royal Rumble and was very entertaining with his little umbrella.
Which,
that was fantastic.
What kind of gentleman brings a weapon into the Royal Rumble?
And uses it.
I stand by Daivari.
Mary Poppins is way out of there, though.
That was probably the
Mark
best
Henry,
part.
Mary Poppins, Jack Gallagher.
So Jack Gallagher goes out holding his umbrella in a very funny moment. In a very unfunny moment, Braun Strowman murders James Ellsworth.
I laughed.
Oh, that was brutal.
Oh, no, it was brutal, but.
Like, that's a bump that should not have been taken. Probably that was completely unprotected. Yeah. He slammed him right on his back.
Because Hunter was just like, why would you agree to that? I was like, it was Strowman. I don't think you agree to anything.
Yeah.
I think Strowman throws you and you hope somebody's there to catch.
Kofi got his, oh my God, I didn't get eliminated moment.
Yeah, I didn't
like
that.
Which was bad.
I did not like that.
I also didn't like all three of the New Day getting eliminated by Cesaro Sheamus.
Who were then eliminated immediately. Yeah. Hot-shotting.
Yep.
All the things that were supposed to happen in the Rumble happened, except for...
Any surprise
at all. No, there were surprises.
Okay,
Apollo Crews.
Let's talk about
that,
too.
Here's Enzo freaking Amore.
Because this is the reason I think the Rumble is getting such a bad rap. You have a year where you could be getting Kurt Angle. Kenny Omega is a possibility. Finn Balor is a possibility. Samoa Joe is a possibility. Hideo Itami. Nakamura. There are all of these amazing what-ifs. Are some of them unfounded and unrealistic? Probably. But WWE does absolutely nothing to make us think that they do nothing but promote anything can happen at the Rumble. Anyone is fair game at the Rumble.
John Cena actually legitimately
came back like 6 months early.
And teases that Kenny Omega is going to be there.
Right.
Literally teases it.
In the same way he did for AJ Styles, and then AJ Styles actually showed up.
So they knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
They knew with Kurt Angle being there, there was no reason Kurt couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
But there was nobody. There are big surprises.
Instead of Kurt Angle and Finn Balor and Kenny Omega, we get Apollo Crews, James Ellsworth, Enzo Amore, Mark Henry, which was cool.
Yeah,
I'll give you that. Especially in Texas, his home state. Jack Gallagher.
Can you even remember the other two?
Did I say Apollo Crews?
Oh, Ty Dillinger.
Which wasn't a surprise because everyone was just like, he has to be number 10, and he was, but then he's not on Raw or SmackDown, so whoopee.
And then other guy.
And then, like, yeah, I guess, and then there were two others that I don't think Kalisto was announced, and then Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Reigns was the last.
Yep.
Yeah, so before we get to the very last, well, no, screw it, we already talked about the last, but that's not important. Roman Reigns coming out at number 30 sucked, and it killed the entire event.
Yep.
For me. And I don't blame Roman Reigns. They clearly put him in that spot. That was a bad spot to put him in.
It's the same thing with Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio got booed out of the building at number 30 in one of his last appearances for WWE. Through no fault of, the only thing he did wrong was not be Daniel Bryan.
Yep. Yep. And Roman Reigns was a dead man walking as soon as his music hit, and you could tell he knew it.
Yeah.
The worst part about the Rumble for me and the saddest part was The Undertaker.
Yeah.
In all honesty, seeing The Undertaker, he, for doing very little, looked tired.
And lost and.
Looked lost. Like he didn't know what he was doing. His attacks were weak looking. His
entrance was great. Because we're like, oh man, are they even going to have time to?
That was a huge.
Because the entrance ramp was.
The entrance ramp was so long. The bigger wrestlers, did you read?
Yeah, they had
actually
the cart.
Got carted halfway there.
Yep.
Yeah, and that not just the older ones. Big E was one of the guys that got carted.
He tweeted about, and he's like, "Is this their way of telling me they think I'm fat?"
But the Undertaker, as soon as we saw him, it was like,
the lights go out, they come back up, and he's already in the ring, like he was
staring down. Was it Goldberg?
Goldberg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Which was awesome.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. But yeah.
Because I've never seen Goldberg take her.
Yeah.
But then compare especially The Undertaker to Bill Goldberg, just looks wise.
Oh.
Bill Goldberg looks like he's worked out every year, every day.
Looks like again, Dalton said it best. The only thing that's aged on him is his beard.
Yes.
Oh,
and his tattoo has faded a little bit.
But The Undertaker looked awful.
We said
he looked awful years ago, and this was years ago.
The Lesnar match.
Yeah.
His first one.
When he had the mohawk, when he looked out of shape and tired.
That was such a bad idea.
He looked really out of shape at this show. His gut was huge, and I feel bad criticizing him because The Undertaker is such a legendary figure in wrestling, but you have to call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
He looked bad.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
There was, and unless he gets himself in shape for WrestleMania, you got to feel like this is his last
match. He is known to do that. The last two WrestleManias, he's looked really good.
And again, he has 10 weeks.
But
it's just a matter of, but apparently it's a concern is his hip.
Yeah.
Because he was hurting after the match.
Yeah.
Unless they told The Undertaker 3 days before the Royal Rumble, hey, by the way, you're in the Rumble, there was no reason that Taker couldn't have gotten in shape for the Rumble. I get it. It's a thing where you're just going to run in and get eliminated. You're not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But Undertaker's a professional. You feel like he would do that because now the internet is abuzz about how terrible he looked and can he go at Mania.
And I mean, and this is going to be a really weird side tangent that I make, but like any older wrestler that comes in looks like that. The only difference is they're not The Undertaker. The Undertaker, who is not a wrestler, he is a demon.
He's an attraction.
Well, like, no, like his character. Like he is an undead wizard. Like, yeah. He should always be in shape. That's the reason we criticize him.
Maybe he hasn't drank enough blood lately.
Yeah, and I mean, do you get what I'm saying, though? Yeah. Like, it's fine for Ric Flair to look like that whenever he was Taker's age, because he was an older wrestler.
Yeah, but at this point, no one...
I'm saying the mystique of Undertaker. Like, you don't see Undertaker doing...
No, I get what you're saying. They're ruining the mystique of the Undertaker by showing how human he is.
Yes. I mean, does that make sense what I'm saying?
It makes absolutely sense.
All right, cool, yeah.
It's sad to think that Hulk Hogan looks so much better than The Undertaker.
Yeah.
When Hogan is almost, what, 70? He's pushing 65 at least.
65, 66, yeah. Sure.
This is the year that you could do the Sting Undertaker just spectacle match.
Yeah.
Give him the intros. Do it for the entrances, the vignettes, and then do like a little thing. Give Sting the win, finally.
No. It's still WWF. Oh, sorry, E. They got the F out a couple years ago.
Yeah, I just...
So, all in all, the Rumble was a great show, but a huge disappointment. And there were so many people online. I saw maybe one positive message, but I saw guys like Hollis and Lee and, everybody, JR, everyone was critical of the Rumble. No one seemed like they had a good time with the event.
Yeah, I mean,
great wrestling, but terrible booking.
It had some great moments. Harper turning on Bray Wyatt was awesome.
The Rumble itself had a bunch of cool moments.
Discus Lariat was...
But the ending sucked the life right out of it.
And one of the other things that I... Because I made a pretty long post on one of my friends, because he asked, he's like, so what's up with the Rumble? Why is everyone so down on it? And I made a long thing. We've hit a lot of those points. Another one that I really just didn't like is you have the ring totally fill up. Like, Strowman does a good job of getting a lot of people out before they eliminate him. The match refills, and then you parade out Lesnar, Goldberg, Taker, to just get rid of everybody is cannon fodder. That Corbin elimination of Strowman is a star-making moment for him to just immediately get punked out. That's why that stupid little idea of him doing a challenge that Apollo Crews answers before the actual Rumble starts is, okay, Apollo Crews is not a strong enough name to be a big surprise, and then it makes sense. You can do a story between the two of them, and it makes his elimination mean more if you do it. If it's Crews eliminating him instead of just Lesnar or whoever actually eliminated him.
Well, I mean, they did the same thing with Wyatt a year or two ago where like Wyatt was like a house of fire.
Yeah.
And then I think it was the Kane Big Show moment.
Big Show where they just picked him up and tossed him out.
Everyone likes you. Bye.
Yeah. So it's not the first time they've done something like that.
It's not the first time WWE has flipped off its audience.
It's not the first time they've done it, but it sucked then too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's always been ridiculous.
You think that they would know better than to just do the exact same thing again.
Welcome to McMahon land.
Yeah.
That's going to be our show for tonight. We got to get out of here. If you take anything away from our discussion from the Rumble, it's that we liked it, but if you could have seen our faces at the end of it, you would know why we were so angry.
I got so angry at Enzo's music and Roman Reigns's because I needed it to be Samoa Joe.
Or anyone.
Not to toot my own horn, and I know it's stupid indie internet darling booking, but the story of Joe coming in, eliminating either Goldberg or Lesnar, if not both, to win the Rumble in his debut would have been way more compelling than what we got.
Why build a new star like Samoa Joe in WWE when you can instead parade the part-timers out and have Randy Orton win it?
And teach you that, everyone that we've been showing every week that you're slowly starting to really get on board with, it doesn't matter. They're not nearly as good as guys that show up four times a year.
Or Randy Orton, who's been here for...
And I'm saying
a decade.
And I'm saying that I'm bummed that Orton won, and I'm saying that as a huge Orton fan. Yep. I'm pretty sure I'm the only Orton fan in our friend group. But I love Randy Orton. I'm curious to see where they go with it, how they do this Wyatt turn.
Yeah, here's the rumor, and we'll end on this. The rumor is that Randy Orton is going to, Bray Wyatt is going to win the title at Elimination Chamber.
Right.
Which is awful idea. And we'll talk about that more in the weeks coming up to it, if that's really what's going
to
happen.
Unless it leads to him actually beating Orton decisively at WrestleMania.
Which it won't.
Because it's Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt doesn't need to win to be the Eater of Worlds. Mm-hmm.
Which, speaking of hot shotting titles, John Cena beats AJ Styles, is immediately beaten by Bray Wyatt the next pay-per-view, which is immediately beaten by Randy Orton at WrestleMania.
And then Orton will probably hold it for a couple months before he drops it to probably Cena again. Probably build up to Cena versus Orton 20,000.
Because it's the only Cena rivalry that they can still get because Punk and Edge aren't wrestling anymore.
His rivalry with AJ Styles is amazing.
Yeah.
I could see Cena and Styles doing this for a long time. You don't have to go back to the well of Randy Orton.
You know who
Headlock Dalton?
You know who would be a great match against AJ Styles? And we can leave on this if you want. Never mind. I want to see AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. I would kill to see that match.
Yeah.
I'd rather see it than Orton versus Wyatt. Although I like their storyline.
Yeah.
From an in-ring, I would rather see that because I wouldn't know Orton would win. I hate wrestling. We're out of here. Tomorrow we're going to come back with a kind of, I don't know. We kind of teased it, or Hunter sent it to me, that GameStop is doing some shady things. And we've done GameStop shows before.
Huh?
Yeah. But now,
I am shocked.
Now they're getting called out for it, and it could be big. We might do that. We might do something happy, because we've been pissed off a lot lately. We'll find out. Dalton, hit those plugs for me.
All right. If you want to support us, you can go to patreon.com, search Podzilla1985, send some money our way.
Or you can just do patreon.com/Podzilla1985.
I thought it was search.
No, you go to Redbubble.
Redbubble.com.
Search for Podzilla1985.
You've been doing this for like 3 straight weeks, and you can't get it right still. Take a back seat. Patreon.com/Podzilla1985. Any donation is appreciated. A one-time donation, no matter how big or small, will get you a permanent spot on our website for $10.
We
will plug you, an event, your podcast, your show, on any of the shows that we do here on the network.
Yes.
You can go to redbubble.com, search for Podzilla 1985, get some t-shirts.
You're going to love that new Pro Wrestling Unscripted shirt that's coming soon. You're going to love it.
It's going to
be fantastic.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Also, go to Podzilla1985.com. You can catch up on the old episodes. We just updated the site. We re-added Dalton to the cast list. Yay! And there's also a new section with some cast pictures. If you want to know what we're like, if you want to see us, why would you? You can go there and check us out. Also, go to blogzilla1985.com. We've been updating it lately. Got a great article on there about Cape Championship Wrestling, Cage Chaos. You can go read that. We appreciate the hell out of it. We'll see you tomorrow night on Tanner Thursday. You guys have a great night. We'll see you then.